Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Soon after the tragic incident, Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey.
A man by the name of Walter Chiswick, in a book called He Leadeth Me, describes his life in a Soviet labor camp. The Soviet interrogators were trying to persuade him to cooperate with them. I saw only my own weakness and helplessness. To choose either position opened to me, cooperation or execution. I knew that I had gone beyond all bounds. I had crossed over the brink into a fit of blackness I had never known before. It was very real, and I began to tremble. I had lost the last shreds of faith in God. Recognizing that, I turned immediately to prayer in fear and trembling. I knew I had to seek immediately the God I had forgotten. I knew immediately what I must do, what I would do, and somehow I knew that I could do it. I knew that I must abandon myself entirely to the will of the Father and live from now on in this spirit of self-abandonment to God. And I did it. God's will was not hidden somewhere out there in the situations in which I found myself. The situations themselves were His will for me. What He wanted was for me to accept these situations from His hands, to let go of the reins and place myself entirely at His disposal. It was the grace of God. It was the grace God had been offering me all my life, but which I had never really had the courage to accept in full. Glenda's story is another case in point. Horrible sin against that child by both her mother and her stepfather. But she saw in it, as she became aware more and more of God in her life, that they meant it for evil, He meant it for good. And that's a verse straight out of the book of Genesis. You remember that's what Joseph said to his brothers who had been horribly sinful against him. And it's just as if he said to them, "Relax, boys, you meant it for evil," and that was certainly true. God meant it for good. Joseph was in a position he would never have been able to be in where he could save the lives of his brothers and his father, but it wouldn't have happened without the evil. So we're up against the great mystery of evil and the mystery of grace. And we're not going to get those intellectually harmonized, are we? The gift of suffering. Point 2 in your outline. It is a gift from God Himself. This concept is anathema to the natural mind. It is an outrage. A gift from God? He's supposed to be a God of love. Why on earth would He give a loved child suffering? Well, we have a very simple illustration, don't we, in home life. When you give your child a spanking because that child has been deliberately disobedient, it doesn't do any good to say to the child, "You know, this hurts me worse than it hurts you." Is that child ever going to believe that? Of course not. I can remember my parents saying that, and I thought, they don't know what they're talking about. This hurts. And then the day came when I was a mother. And because I love the child, I have to make the child suffer. And everything in our modern mind and attitude is, you don't want anything bad to happen to anybody, ever, for any reason, except the people you can't stand. But anybody you love, you certainly wouldn't make them suffer. It is a gift. A loving God gives good gifts to his children. And what did he give his beloved son? A cup of suffering, the cup that the Father gave him. And the contents of that cup you can read in Isaiah 53. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows. The punishment that brought us peace fell on him. All that was in that cup. And he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then his next prayer was, if it is not possible, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And it is human and it is right and meet and proper that we should pray for healing, for deliverance from evil, for protection. But the bottom line should always be, not my will, but thine be done. He wants to give us himself. And the Bible tells us that we are fellow heirs with him if we suffer. Romans 8, 17. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And my first husband, Jim Elliot, had written in his diary when he was just a young man, I shall not reign. I have not suffered. And I suppose up to that point, he felt that he never had. Certainly wasn't thinking about all the tiny little things, but he didn't really know very much about suffering until the last few hours of his life, as far as I know. But the Bible clearly says, if you suffer with me, if you suffer with me, acceptance, as Chizik found in that horrible labor camp, acceptance that this situation for me at this moment is the will of God. It is a gift from God himself. And God is saying to you and me, will you accept this? And I thank God for Amy Carmichael, one of my great spiritual tutors, whom I never met, Irish missionary to India. She wrote a poem, In Acceptance Lieth Peace. And those were the words that God brought to me when Jim died. I couldn't change it. I couldn't change the fact that I was a widow and that Jim was dead and that my daughter was fatherless. Wasn't a thing I could do to change that, was there? But there was one thing I could do. I could accept it. And so we can lift up empty hands and we say to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand this. I would never have asked for it. I don't know the whys, but you've taught me much in your word. And so by your grace, yes, I will receive it and open your hands and make that a transaction with God. There may be someone here this morning who needs to do exactly that. In the quietness of your home, just get down on your knees and say, well, Lord, I never saw it as a gift, never wanted it, have never accepted it. I have been bitter. I've been lugging this baggage around. I am miserable. And the little girl was miserable because she couldn't watch the video. A tiny thing, but a great lesson that she learned, happiness out of obedience. You know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the psychiatrist who drew up 5 stages of grief, she hadn't written those back in 1956 when my first husband was killed. So I didn't know that I was supposed to go through 5 stages of grief. And therefore, I didn't go through them all. Now, please don't imagine that the woman you're looking at up here is made of concrete. I grieved, of course, as anyone else would grieve. I had waited 5.5 years for this man before the Lord brought us together as husband and wife, and we'd had 27 months of marriage. But I realized that God had assigned me my portion and my cup. It was something I could not change. And so I took Amy Carmichael's words, in acceptance lieth peace. And I know that's true. And many of you know that too. Because instead of lugging the baggage of bitterness and resentment and absolute fury against God or against whoever it was that might have perpetrated that thing that's made you suffer, God gave it to you. And God knew exactly what he was doing. And he's asking you, will you accept this gift? Or do you refuse to be a partaker of the divine nature? And we cannot be partakers of his divine nature without acceptance. And so it is a choice. It is a willed, voluntary choice. You can refuse, or you can say yes. Jesus received the cup. And John the Baptist, who was imprisoned because of a wicked king, an adulterous king, a wicked woman, and a silly dancing girl. Now, does that make any sense? That God would allow this most faithful servant who came to prepare the way for Jesus, that he would be put into prison because of his own obedience. Remember, it was John the Baptist's obedience to God in facing that king with his sin that got him put into prison. And it was that adulterous woman who thought up the punishment. When the king told her daughter, this silly dancing girl, that he would give her anything she asked for, and so the girl asked her mother, what shall I ask for? And her mother said, well, why don't you just ask for the head of John the Baptist? And it was brought in on a platter. Does God have anything to do with things like that? But you remember that when the disciples had come to Jesus and told him that John the Baptist was in prison, we suppose that Jesus could have gone and gotten him out. But the truth is, he didn't even go. He did not go to see John in prison. He sent a message, what we might consider a rather strange message. Tell him, blessed is he who is not offended in me. I think Jesus knew his man. He knew that John the Baptist would trust him. And his head was chopped off.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.